I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colchón Arrow Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderón, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colchón Arrow Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on a Tuesday, is Into the Calderón staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colchón Arrow Chat. Rob stops by to discuss Atletico's 3-0 win over Las Palmas at the Wanda Metropolitano on Sunday afternoon. A good win for Atletico, especially following their Copa del Rey disappointment midweek. We'll talk about the return of Torresmen. Fernando Torres and Antoine Griezmann starting atop Diego Simeone's 4-4-2, and both players scoring goals. Really nice goals, particularly Torres, who showed just a glimpse of the player that he once was. We'll also talk about a good performance from Juan Fran, Jose Jimenez maybe replacing Stefan Savic next to Diego Godin, Yannick Carrasco's strong shift off the bench, and what's going on with Koke. Diego Simeone taking off his star midfielder at halftime, which is the latest indication that something is not quite right with the former academy kid. We'll talk about what's going on there. In addition, we'll take your questions and preview Valencia's visit on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. Valencia not exactly in the best run of form right now, and they will have just come off playing Real Madrid in La Liga and Barcelona in the Copa del Rey. Yikes. Will Diego Costa be fit? Keep it here and find out. Before we continue with all that good stuff, a couple housekeeping notes. Make sure to subscribe and listen to Colchón Arrow Chat on your favorite podcasting platform, including iTunes. If you leave a 5-star rating and a review on iTunes, we'd really, really appreciate it, assuming you like us that much. Also, patreon.com/ColchónArrowChat is the place to be if you want access to our bonus pods. We recorded another one today, and it's a stacked rumor roundup, so you're definitely going to want to listen to it if you're a patron, even if you're not. And if you're not a patron, you can fix that by going to patreon.com/ColchónArrowChat and supporting the show. You get exclusive access to the bonus pods, behind-the-scenes look at how each show is made, exclusive polls, and a lot of other stuff now and in the future. Patreon.com/ColchónArrowChat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this. And we have a lot of questions to get to as well.
Yeah, we really do.
Yeah, so thanks to all y'all who submitted your questions, both on Twitter and on Patreon.
Yes, many thanks.
Yeah, we'll get to all those very soon. But in the meantime, it's time for the whip around. Ooh-wee.
Yay!
That was quite enthusiastic, Rob. That was good. 21 weeks.
It'll be convincing.
21 weeks down. And we start on Friday with Athletic and Eibar playing out a 1-1 draw. I know it doesn't seem like it, but Athletic are unbeaten in their last 10.
A lot of those are draws, though.
They are, and they're still 12th in the table. But yeah, still, unbeaten in 10 is not bad.
Yeah.
But then again, they're 12th in the table still.
And they have only won 6 games, so.
Yes, and they've drawn 9.
Yeah, that's not good.
On Saturday, a really big game between Depor and Levante finished 2-2. This is a really devastating result for Depor, who had a 2-0 lead inside the last 10 minutes. But then Evie comes along and scores 2 really pretty good goals to snag a draw for Levante, one of the lowest scoring teams in the division. That's their 10th draw of the season, and they remain 2 points ahead of Deportivo in 17th. Valencia 1, Real Madrid 4. Big win for Real Madrid. They needed this. And it's important for Atletico, too, as we'll discuss. 2 penalties in the first half conceded by Martin Montoya. He almost conceded a third later on in the game. Maybe should have gotten the right back, Marcelino, instead of Vieto. I'm just saying.
Well, sooner rather than later, I'll be playing old Franny Coquelin at right back. That'll yeah. be glorious.
Yeah. Center back Franny Coquelin, please.
God, no. I really hope he doesn't think that's what Francis Coquelin's role is, because he will be surely disappointed.
Yeah, he's got no one else right now. Man, Mario is still hurt. And Gabriel got suspended for being Gabriel.
He will do that.
So, yeah, weird times of Valencia, and guess who their next 2 opponents are?
Scary teams.
Barca and Atletico.
Mm,
yay. Indeed. It's going to be a rough week for them. Malaga and Girona playing out a goalless draw. Girona continue to pick up the points. They've It's their third straight game unbeaten, and just their fourth win or draw in the last six. Malaga, meanwhile, still rooted to the bottom of the table. They're 6 points adrift of safety. They're going down.
Goodbye, Malaga.
It's a sinking ship. Speaking of sinking ships, Villarreal 4, Real Sociedad 2. Some really excellent goals in this one, especially from Samu Castillejo. Real Sociedad, not only did they lose this game, looked really bad doing it. Their fourth straight loss. Eusebio now effectively fighting for his job, but they've lost Inigo Martinez. He's gone to Athletic to replace Laporte. Mm.
Cross the Basque Country to go to Bilbao.
Ooh. That's like, like, honestly, that is one of the biggest like transfers we've seen in a while. That is, you just don't make that kind of move.
It's a bold move. It's a bold move. And, I mean, I guess in some ways I could see how people would see it as a kind of sideways move, but I don't know. I kind of like it, given how bad Real Sociedad had been this season.
Yeah.
I guess maybe he just got fed up with it and got tired of waiting for Man City, et cetera, et cetera.
It's an interesting one, because Athletic are only 4 points ahead of La Real on the table, and they still have to go to Anoeta this season.
Right, so that will be a very interesting game for old Inigo.
Oh, you know it. On Sunday, Leganés with a crazy 3-2 win over Espanyol. Mario Hermoso, the Espanyol center back, scored 3 goals in this game. The only problem was, 2 of them were own goals.
Yeah, the rarely seen hat trick with 2 own goals.
And the goal he scored, I think, went off his face. Like, he didn't mean to score it.
Total accident. Oh, man. Bad day at the office.
I love La Liga.
Though he did make up for the one goal, he really, really needed 2 goals to make up for his 2 own goals.
I think he had a second goal cleared off the line, I think.
Unbelievable.
What a game. Sevilla and Getafe playing out a 1-1 draw. Getafe notching a 93rd-minute equalizer. Sergio Rico may or may not have been fouled, but that's secondary, as the foul was not called. And Sevilla draw at home after knocking out Atletico midweek in the Copa. And finally, Barcelona 2, Alaves 1. John Guidetti getting Alaves on the board and giving them a lead that they held until the 69th minute, when Luis Suarez equalized, and then Lionel Messi scoring a free kick that should not have been given, as Paco Alcácer was offside when he was fouled, but no matter. Barca win. They're still 11 points clear of Atletico.
Yeah, it's another one of those weeks where Atletico basically needed Barcelona to lose, and it hasn't happened. They've come from behind to win once again. So, yeah, I mean,
Yawn.
It is what it is. Everyone as you were in La Liga at this point.
And on Monday, Celta Vigo and Real Betis finished 3-2. To Celta, those are two of the most entertaining teams in the division.
Yes, always watch both of always. Them. There will be goals.
In the last 5 games, I think Betis have seen 23 goals scored between the two teams. Between the teams, so
Betis is excellent to watch.
Always watch Betis.
Always.
But one result we didn't talk about: Atletico Madrid 3, Las Palmas 0. That is Atletico 3. Las Palmas, no, Atleti getting back on track following the crushing Copa loss to Sevilla. As I mentioned earlier, lots of interesting things we can get to in this game, Rob. Where do you want to start?
Good question. Shall we start with the lineup?
Sure.
From the very start.
That's a good place to start. It was initially, there was hope that Diego Costa was going to come back for this game as he continued his recovery from his hamstring injury. But yeah, he was kept out of the squad at the last minute, so it was expected Kevin Gamero was going to start. But then Gamero comes down with stomach problems just before the game, so Fernando Torres has to start. And Torres did pretty well.
Yeah, scored a banging goal.
Man, that was a great goal. That's prime Torres making
vintage.
A return.
That's vintage Torres.
Yep.
That's like old Liverpool Atletico Torres back before Chelsea destroyed his soul.
Now, you could say that, you know, both of his goals have come against really bad teams this season. I mean, Alaves have been better lately, but does it matter that Torres' league goals have come against, you know, two teams who are lower than 15th in the table? Yeah, I guess it depends on who you ask, right?
Yeah, I mean, you need someone to score against the shit teams, otherwise you won't win.
That's true. You need someone to.
I think Atletico needs someone to do that. I mean, obviously Griezmann was the man of the match, I think.
Yeah.
Probably without doubt. Maybe Saul, but you could split hairs between those two, I think. But Griezmann was excellent as well, and I think he did a good job alongside Torres. I thought that worked out all right. Obviously, the first half was a bit sucky, but then once it got into the second half, it was a little bit more fluid.
Yeah, Griezmann had the kind of game that you've been wanting him to have for a while. Seven shots, hit the post twice, scored the opening goal, which was eventually stood up as the winning goal. And he wasn't partnered with Gamero or Correa, who are two strikers that are pretty similar to him. He was partnered with Torres, who, well, Torres is old and kind of slow and kind of prone to falling over. Griezmann does make him better, and Torres makes Griezmann better because Torres has the number nine profile that Griezmann needs to play behind. I thought Griezmann was really, really good.
Yeah, he was great, and he could have had a hat trick very easily. Got unlucky twice to hit the woodwork, but hey, it was still a great performance.
Yep, and you mentioned Saul, and Saul had 12 tackles on the afternoon.
Yes.
12.
Unbelievable when I looked at that.
Yeah, and he was basically playing up the pitch the entire second half after Koke came out, and we'll talk about Koke in a bit here. But this is another instance of Saul showing just how complete a midfielder he is. I think Saul is underrated, honestly. Like, really underrated across Europe.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's one of the biggest effort players in Europe. I mean, you can just see, even on days where he's not extremely effective in a creative sense, he can still dominate tackles and winning back possession and winning interceptions, et cetera, et cetera. He's just excellent.
And not only that, he's, like, genuinely a terrific talent. Like, he's so versatile, and he's, yeah, as you mentioned, he's so creative. He can do just about everything. And he's only 23, so yay.
And still, a lot more time for him to get even better.
Yeah, he's Atletico's for the next 9 years, as per the terms of his contract.
That'd be good for that.
Yeah. What else from the starting 11?
Juanfran is back.
For now. Yes.
For now.
Yeah, Rusalco was suspended, so Juanfran came back in. He played probably his best game of the season.
Yeah, I thought he was good.
That assist to Griezmann was perfect.
Yep, it was a great assist, and his passing in general I thought was really good. He also made some tackles. He looked fine. I think Juanfran on rest at this point in his career is the best thing.
Yeah, like this is fine. If Juanfran plays against teams in the bottom half, or like maybe 13th and lower, if Juanfran starts against those teams, I don't think there will be any issue. It's just you cannot play Juanfran against teams in the top half anymore. I mean, and Simeone didn't have a choice Saturday because Rusalco was suspended. But this is Sunday. But this is Juanfran's level now. It's sad. It's not sad. It's whatever it is. It is what it is. But Juanfran played really well when given the opportunity. That pass to Griezmann, I think he hasn't laid on an assist like that in a couple of years. Like it was really good to see that.
It was. Yeah, this year, for the most part, he hasn't really gotten up the pitch that much. And when he does, he's looked kind of scary. But yeah, that was a shining moment for him this season.
Yeah, really good to see that. And again, we'll probably see him a few more times against the lower-rung teams in La Liga. But this is his level now. And if he can provide this when he's called upon, then there won't be any issues.
I guess the only other thing from the lineup in the bench is Giovanni being on the bench for the first time.
Yeah, that was an interesting one because Gamero was ruled out at the last second, so Simeone had to kind of scramble to pick up one more guy to fill the bench. Yeah, I know very little about Giovanni.
Yeah, I had to look him up on the day of the match because I was like, Giovanni? Like, that seems weird. I haven't heard that name before. So, I mean, he's with the Juvenil A. He's not even with Atletico's B team.
Yeah.
He's so young. So he's 18.
He's got to be 18, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe we will see him this year. I mean, now that we're – I mean, I don't think we will. Maybe in Europe if we get someone particularly hilariously easy. But, yeah, I mean, good to see the youngsters getting on the bench in the league. Crazy. I was kind of hoping he'd come on, but, you know.
Yeah, either that or, like, he, like, lost a bet. Or, like, there was, like, the bet saying, hey, like – yeah, there had to be maybe some kind of bet, like that Giovanni lost and he had to end up on the bench. Who knows?
Yeah. Bet you won't play Giovanni.
But always good to see him get on the bench, and he got to be on the bench at the Wanda Metropolitano, and that's an experience that he's not going to forget. Maybe we do see him somewhere down the line. Who knows?
Yes, exactly. And he is so young at this point, so it's not like there's any sort of rush, but Yeah, he's a prospect that I had really no idea about and still have never seen play, but he might be good. You never know.
They gave him the number 57 for his shirt number.
It's pretty terrible. Well, I mean, he's from Las Palmas like Vitolo, so maybe they can be friendos.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That is one of the few things I managed to find out about him.
Rob Walker, our Giovanni expert.
At first I thought he was Simeone's son on the bench. I was like, what is
this?
Yeah,
me too.
I was like, what is going on here?
We have a question from patron Tres Gatos. That means three cats, Rob.
Oh, I love me some cats.
Any chance this is the turning of the page with more Josema runouts to come and less Savage after all of these months?
I really, really, really hope that Mr. Three Cats is correct.
Jimenez, yeah, he's referencing Jimenez starting again, and Jimenez played really well again. I did up the ratings after this game. He's just become really assured and really composed, really disciplined, no fouls. He's finally getting a decent run in the team, and maybe he has shown enough now to not only compete with Savage, but take that spot from him outright.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds kind of basic to say, but I think in sort of every category, Jimenez is better than Savage at this point. I mean, Savage's best attribute is his heading, but I think Jimenez is just as good in the air as Savage, if not better. And he's also an extremely good technical player, which Savage is certainly not. I mean, I trust Jimenez to play the pass if it comes to him. He's not like one of those center backs where you're biting all your nails off the second he gets the ball.
Right.
So... yeah, I really do hope that this is the start of a bunch of matches for him. I think alongside Godin, they look good. I think with Lucas at left back right now, I think that's the best bet for your center back partnership. And it just gives Godin some extra pace. It helps him out to have someone that can actually run.
Yeah, precisely. Because with him and Savage together, like neither of them will really move. They'll just be rooted to their spot in the box. And that's a problem. But with Josema, yep. He'll make the runs and he'll take those kinds of... those flying tackles and those kinds of positional chances that Godin can't take or won't take. Mostly can't take because he's 31 and has no pace now. But Jimenez will take those chances. And they're a good partnership. They were a good partnership when after Miranda moved and Jimenez got a lot of games in 2015-16, they were a good partnership. So it's good to see this again. And yeah, I agree. Hopefully this is the start of a nice, a longer run of games for Josema. Simeone's substitutes, we've criticized them the last two or three podcasts, but this time he got them dead on, didn't he?
Yes, absolutely. I think so. I think, clearly Tomas scored, so that looks great, but Carrasco, I think, was good to come on, and so was Vitolo. I mean, I think this, given the way the game was poised at that point, those were probably the only subs he could or would make. I mean, I don't really see why he'd need to bring on Savage against the second worst team in the league. And then the other two guys are youngsters and a goalkeeper. So, yeah, I think that the subs worked out. And Carrasco looked better, I think, than he had. But he really hasn't gotten into his groove yet this season, which is still mildly concerning.
Yeah, I thought he was really good. And I agree, I'm not sure this really good performance is a sign of things to come or like a sign of what might have been or if it's just to be taken in a vacuum. I thought he was really, really pretty influential. His pace just effectively ripped apart Las Palmas' defense, which worked very hard in the first half. Las Palmas were really good in the first half, but Carrasco came on and they just didn't really have much of an answer for him and what he brought. Effectively really opening up the game for Atletico. And he got an assist, which he never gets.
Yes, that's right. He did actually pass the ball, and as he should have, because Tomas was... I mean, the goal was wide open. I mean, if that had to be XG, that has to be somewhere in the 90s.
I think upper 90s. I looked at Understat after the game. It was 0.95 expected goals for that Tomas goal.
There you go.
You got to score that.
That's a tap-in.
You got to score that.
It actually wasn't that easy to score. Tomas got a bit lucky with his touch, I thought.
He did.
It kind of bounced off his kneecap. But, it was wide open. It was pretty difficult to miss.
He does love a goal against Las Palmas. That's the second time he scored against them this season. He also scored against them last season.
Yeah, Tomas has been scoring a bunch of goals this year, which is really surprising. He's up and to some good ones as well.
He's up to 4 in the league, and I think he's at 6 in all comps.
Yeah, because I know he scored against Carabag.
Yep, and he scored against Elche in the first leg.
That's right.
He's up to 6 in all comps, which is a really, really good return.
That's decent, especially for a player that both hasn't played that much and is generally played in a much deeper role.
Yeah, half dozen goals for Tomas, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Vitolo got a good 10 minutes against his old team. I wish he had gotten more, but he basically got the hockey assist on Tomas's goal. He started that counterattack. Really looked up for this one, and he was running well. His pace was really good. His speed was really good. Passing was good. So hopefully we see more of Vitolo soon, because he's going to be really important down the stretch as Atleti try to finish as high as they can in La Liga, and they're going to go for the Europa League. So Vitolo is going to be... I would expect him to start against Valencia or be the first guy off the bench at the very least. I think he's got to
start. I think he's kind of done the sub thing a bunch now at this point, and I just think it's not really helping him sort of get more into the team at this stage. I think he needs to start, but who knows? Maybe Carrasco will. Maybe Correa will. I mean, God knows what's going on with this lineup at the moment. I find it hard to really predict what's going to happen.
Let's talk a little bit about Koke.
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't discussed him in depth recently, and he came off at halftime in this game. He really struggled. The game just kind of passed him by. It looked like he was a step slower than everybody else. Simeone said after the game he wanted more speed, more energy in the lineup, so he put Carrasco out there, and that's really, to me, that's a concerning thing to say, because for the things that Koke lacks, he's never lacked energy. He's never lacked passion, and that was kind of a concerning thing to me. I don't know if it was the same for you, but that was kind of weird to hear.
Yeah, and I mean, Koke's never really had pace. So right. I kind of get it in that sense. He just really hasn't been that effective in recent matches. I don't know if this sort of formation and setup just doesn't benefit him that much, which it might. He might need to play with two other central midfielders to be truly effective. I don't really know. He's just not in a 4-4-2 in the middle. He just isn't really able to do what Atleti need him to do. I'm not really sure why.
Yeah, he has been playing a little bit more in the middle lately, especially kind of the same thing as last season when Atleti would shift into a hybrid 4-3-3 and Koke would drift toward the middle. That's kind of been the same thing lately, but we're really going on about 3-4 weeks of Koke just kind of performances.
I've done player ratings in the last couple of weeks, and I just don't really know what to say about Koke. There are games where he just doesn't really do that much.
Yeah, there's just not really... It's a weird one. He might need a rest. He might be hurt again. I don't know. But I wouldn't be against giving him a rest when they go to La Rosaleda and play Malaga in a couple of weeks.
He has played a ton of minutes this year.
He always does. This has always been kind of a concern with Koke, is that he's 26 years old, but he's played, you know, a 32-year-old's football. He's played so many minutes over the past few years.
And not only the minutes, he's playing these minutes in a Simeone system, so his body is going to be absolutely exploded.
Yeah, that's the concern. Like, I've seen it said in Atleti Twitter and other Atleti circles that, you know, there is concern that when Koke turns 31 or 32, he's just not going to have much left, if anything left, because he's just played so much football.
Yeah, he may have to move to center back.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if we're seeing the first signs of that, because this hasn't been a great season for Koke. Much like last season wasn't a great season for Koke. I mean, he's been hurt this year. He was out a month, and that coincided with Atleti's worst run of the season. I don't know if he's hurt again, if he needs another rest, or if this is something else, but it's definitely worth keeping an eye on, because I can't tell you the last time Koke came off at halftime. I mean, he's one of the first guys on the team sheet every week. Simeone loves him. This is a guy who, you know, bleeds red and white, came up through the academy. I mean, this is a kid who loves the... This is a guy who's loved the club since he was 8 years old.
Yeah, I'm just not sure if this current team is really working or playing to his strengths, really. We'll have to wait and see if he can get a little bit better. Atlanta haven't been really brilliant from set pieces either, which is normally something he can contribute quite a lot because he is very good on taking set pieces. But we shall see if that improves later on this season with Costa in the team, etc.
Indeed. Jan Oblak played his 100th league game in this one. He's conceded 59 goals in those 100 games.
It's unbelievable.
That's decent, I think.
That's not so bad.
Yeah, he had to
I think Courtois conceded, what, like 89 or something like that?
Yeah,
I mean, it's just unreal.
It's at least 25 goals better than any other La Liga goalkeeper through their first 100 games.
Yes, please stay, Jan. We love you so much.
it's sensational.
I mean, he's won so many points for Atleti. This one was not one of them. He didn't really need to come up with anything. Las Palmas did basically nothing, but... Even still, there have been so many matches in recent years where he's just done it all.
Yeah, Oblak had to make one save in this one. And Las Palmas, the first half, they worked really, really hard. I mean, Atleti were really bad in the first half, but Las Palmas worked extremely hard and trying to keep this goalless for as long as they could, but they never looked like scoring. And when Atleti got the first one, the floodgates just kind of opened.
Yeah, defensively, Atleti shut them down. I mean, they had three attempts in the box, and all three were blocked, and that's all you really need to know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a very poor game. I mean, it's not like Jan really had to do anything, but I have a feeling that if he needed to, he would have.
We don't have a Copa del Rey match to preview this week. So, in place of that, we'll talk about the table a little bit. And talk a little bit about Valencia. I know it's a bit early in the week, and Valencia have a Copa del Rey game to play themselves. But Atleti are still second in the table. They're now 6 points clear of Valencia following their loss to Real Madrid. It's Valencia's fourth loss in the last six in La Liga. The sheen has really come off their early season, I guess you could say, their early season form.
Yeah.
Because we remember how good they were, and now they've really struggled, especially defensively. Real Madrid are still 8 points back of Atletico, but they are gaining, and they have the game in hand. So at this point, they've got to be considered the biggest rivals for second place, and Atleti are pretty far ahead of Villarreal and especially Sevilla, 13 points clear of Sevilla and 9 ahead of Villarreal in fifth. How are you feeling about second place right now?
Good, actually. I feel fairly confident. I think Valencia are kind of on a bad run, and ultimately I think probably Real Madrid will end up in third place. But we will see. I think this is the best possible time to be playing Valencia. I mean, it was always kind of apparent that early season form was going to tail off at some point, because Simeone Zaza, let's face it, he probably wasn't going to score, 20-25 goals in La Liga.
You
as
don't
good
say.
As he was at the start of the year.
You don't say.
So, yeah, I mean, they've been really good, but I think they're kind of, you know, the tables have turned, the whatever you want to call it, the variance has come back around on them, and now they're kind of struggling a little bit. So I think this is the best time to play them. I think Atleti can stop them from scoring. Now, whether or not Atleti can put together any sort of intelligent attacks, I don't know. I hope so, especially if Costa's back.
Yeah, exactly.
Costa's
going to be back. And no word on Felipe, which is it's getting kind of annoying because Felipe has not played in 2018 yet, and he's not training. So
it's getting a little worrying.
Yeah, who knows when he's going to come back.
We're getting to the scary part where they're going to announce that he's out for the season getting some surgery or something.
Yeah, let's not say that.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm afraid of, though.
Maybe if you speak it into existence, it'll work like a reverse jinx.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like we did on Twitter with the NX passing.
Yes. Yeah, that tweet did numbers.
It worked. It was successful.
It did numbers. But yeah, this is a good time to be catching Valencia, I think, especially with Costa coming back. And yeah, Valencia were like mad title contenders earlier in the season, and now they're 17 points back of Barca. So life comes at you fast.
It's not been great.
Yeah, life comes at you with the quickness, man.
Well, and as long as Francis Coquelin is playing center half, I believe in Atletico. Although, wait, this is another enthralling installment of Gabriel Paulista versus Diego Costa.
Oh, yes. Yes, the two.
One of our favorite TV dramas carried over from England. They had beef. Things happened. Diego Costa once got Gabriel sent off.
Yes, he did.
Gabriel will do that.
Yeah.
He will get sent off.
So let us hope for another enthralling installment in that saga.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I would pay a lot of money to see Costa just like spitting on Gabriel in like the 35th minute.
And then Gabriel punches him and gets sent off, and Costa's like,
What'd I do? Yeah. I don't think there's going to be any love lost there.
No, don't think so. Between those
two who had their tangos when they were both playing in England a couple years back.
Yes, and coming back, then I would put a lot of money that neither of them began it. I know Diego Costa doesn't.
Yeah.
I doubt Gabriel does.
Yeah. So all signs pointing to Atletico being the favorites in this game and having the fresher team as well. Valencia playing Barcelona midweek in the Copa del Rey. Then they got to travel to Madrid and play Atletico. Atletico are going to be more rested. They'll have Costa back, hopefully. So Atleti should win this one. And if they win it, they'll go 9 points clear of Valencia, which earlier this season was really hard to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll... And Real Madrid have... Who do they have next weekend?
I believe...
They have Levante, so they'll win that.
Yeah, they will.
they're at Levante Saturday night, so Madrid will win that, and they'll keep pace with Atletico. And yeah, I think the big thing is... Right now, you're feeling pretty good about second place, but the big thing is they gotta hold off Madrid, who are going to be... They're going to play better. They're not going to do any business this month, but... They still have the squad that's capable of finishing second if they get hot. So, got to be on the lookout for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You got a scoreline prediction in you? Yeah, I know it's only Tuesday, and this game's on Super Bowl Sunday, but...
Shit, I ain't watching the Super Bowl. 2-0! I'm going 2-0 for Atletico. I believe in them. I don't really think this Valencia team's very good right now, so I think they can capitalize.
You know, it seems like Atletico should win this game, but I'm going to pick a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, it's definitely possible.
Right, yeah, I'm going to pick a 1-1 draw here and hope I'm wrong.
Well, we've already had one draw. I'm feeling it's going to swing around at the old Wanda.
Let's answer a few mailbag questions, and then we'll do the rumor roundup for our lovely patrons.
Yes, indeed.
Where do we want to start here? Okay, at AtleticoFan7. Does Griezmann have another year left at Atletico, and would Griezmann be better off at a different club? Ordinarily, we'd save this for the rumor roundup, but, yeah, we might as well answer that now.
Yeah, no, I don't think he has another year left. I think it's pretty much clear he's going to go probably to Barcelona this summer. I think that's pretty much a done deal.
Yep, agreed.
What about you?
And he would be better off at a different club. I mean, cycles come to an end. Griezmann hasn't had a great season, even though he played really well on Sunday. He just hasn't had a great season. I think he'd
fit much better into the Barca system.
I think he's been distracted. He's had some personal controversies as well that haven't really reflected well on the club. And I think it'll be best for both parties if they separate amicably this summer.
Yeah. I'm just tired of the stories. And even if he did stay another year, they'd be constantly linking him away every 10 minutes anyway. So,
what makes big clubs like Barca, Bayern, and Real more appealing to Atleti than Atleti to soccer players? I can't read today.
We know what you meant.
Yeah, so, yeah, Barca, Bayern, Real Madrid, just, it's the history, right? It's the history, the strong finances, the infrastructure that Atleti just don't really have. It's an institutional thing, because Barcelona, they play in Catalonia, which is, you know, beautiful and scenic. They have just gobs of money. They have won 5 European Cups. They've won 20-something league titles. They're going to win it again this year. It's about the prestige and the exposure. South American players dream of playing at Barcelona and Real Madrid. Atletico have always been like the runt of the litter in that regard. Bayern, kind of the same thing. Bayern are clearly like the, you know, they're the record meister. Like they're the team to beat in Germany. They always have been, going on about 45 years now. They've always been the team to beat. It's a lot of it is history, and a lot of it is finances, and a lot of it is just worldwide exposure that Atleti don't have. Now, at some point in the future, Atleti are hoping to build up their brand to the point where they will have that kind of exposure, but they haven't had it in the past. They don't have it now, not nearly to that degree, but they might in the future, and they don't have quite the infrastructure and the finances that those teams have either. But then again, no one really does.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said. I mean, just look at the last 5 years. All three of those teams, Barca, Bayern, and Real Madrid, have all won the European Cup. Real Madrid won it 3 times, Barcelona once, and Bayern once. So, yeah, there's your reason.
Yeah, pretty much. David at D_JIN24. Who's the better winger, Carrasco or Correa? Good question.
See, I don't really think Correa's a very good winger. But I think he's a good player. I would go for Carrasco as the better winger.
Yeah, the better pure winger, probably Carrasco. Yep. All right, so who's the better winger between him and Vitolo?
See, that's a tough one. I don't feel like I can quite answer that one yet. I need to see Vitolo start more. But at the moment, undecided. On that front, but I think Carrasco is better of him and Correa. I would rather see Correa play up front, if anything, than on the wing, but I understand it.
Based on the Vitolo that we watched at Sevilla and to a much lesser degree Las Palmas, I mean, Vitolo is, he's older, but he's a more versatile player. He's, I think, a harder working player than Carrasco. His work rate is higher. He's not nearly as flashy as Carrasco is. I do need to see Vitolo more in this system, however. So I'll agree with you. I'll leave that one kind of undecided for now.
Yeah, and I think they're also, Carrasco and Correa are a little bit more comparable than Carrasco and Vitolo. I think Vitolo kind of does different things in terms of creating, whereas, as we know, Carrasco is going to try to dribble by and shoot.
Yes.
That is it. That is all he will do.
Whereas Vitolo,
but he does pretty well sometimes.
Whereas Vitolo is like the second or third option. He's going to look to pass more often. He's going to
absolutely.
He's going to defend a little bit. He's going to track back a little bit. So.
Yep. I think we're in accordance there.
All right. What else you got?
I think that is all.
Super. All right. We are going to do the rumor roundup for our patrons. But in the meantime, for the normal pod, we'll leave it here. I'd like to thank my guest, Rob Walker. As always,
it's a pleasure.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. That's rwalk03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbren. It's JB Barron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Culture Narrow Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. Please leave a rating and review on iTunes. Really helps us out, gets more eyes and ears on the program. Also, if you want access to our bonus pods and a lot of other cool things, including special halftime analysis videos, which we'll be doing in the future, head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/cultgenerochat. You'll get access to all those goodies and a lot more. You'll be a highly valued member of the cultgenerochat community. patreon.com/cultgenerochat. We'll be back next week. Until then, adios.